Matthew 4, there was an FBI agent named Robert Hansen, served in the FBI. Most people thought that he was a good FBI agent, served there for 25 years, and the end of the 25 years, they found out that for many of those years, in fact, the full 25 years, he served a little bit more than that. For those 25 years, he had been a spy to Russia, Soviet Union. And the more they found out about his espionage and his being a traitor, it was said by the FBI that it was the most damaging spy in U.S. history. As a man they thought was on their side, thought they were that he was fighting or standing with America, and found out that it was all a lie. He actually was a double agent. The Russians didn't know who he was, just a code name. But in the year 2000, the FBI paid a Soviet officer $7 million. To give them some information about the spy that was in America, which was Robert Hansen. So it cost a great deal to find out who he was and to stop what he was doing. It took a lot to catch him, He was doing a great deal of damage, and most people didn't even know it was happening. And I want to say that's what the devil does. He does a lot of damage. And so many times we don't even recognize it's him. I want to try to preach this morning on catching the devil. Catching the devil, beginning in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, God shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and he saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." That's what he was wanting the entire time. Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And I sure do like the next verse. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, in these verses, there's no doubt who the opposition is. No one is wondering who's attacking Jesus. It's very obvious. But that's not always the case with us. So many times, the devil's doing his work out in the background, somewhere in the back where we don't realize that it's him. I'll tell you one thing. If we allow him, he can control us. Our thinking, our actions, our reactions, and I do not want to be controlled by the devil or the flesh or the world. I want to be able to discern, hey, that's the devil. I do not want him, like Robert Hansen, to be doing damage and me not even realize it's happening. I want to be able to catch the devil. I say this, the life being directed and controlled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brings humility and peace and joy and power and communion and unity and heaven. Sounds pretty good. But the life controlled by Satan brings pride and heartache and misery and deception and bondage and division. And if they're not saved, eventually hell. Sounds pretty bad, and it is. The devil is still using the same tactics now that he did when Adam and Eve was in the garden. And I don't blame them. Why change when it's working? As long as it's working, you don't mess with things, you don't change. And his desire, like it was with Jesus, is to control us, to have influence over us. And his best desire, his most determined desire, is to influence us and control us without us realizing it's him. We need to learn how to catch the devil where he will not control us. Just like we find in these verses, his ultimate goal is for us to worship him and obey him. That's what happened to Lucifer. Why he became the devil was because he said, I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to, listen, dethrone God. Someone may say that'll never happen. Well, it'll never happen in heaven, but it can happen in my life and yours. He can dethrone God in our lives. I say this morning, we need to catch the devil. Number one, he is cunning. Look and see in verse 1. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. The Lord is doing the Father's will. He is being led by the Holy Spirit, God, to do God the Father's will. And right in the middle of the Lord doing the Father's will, here comes Satan. He is very cunning. He's like that Robert Hansen. So many times he comes in our life like an undercover spy. He cunningly slips in without us realizing it. And if we do not listen, if we are not alert, he will defeat us. And we won't even realize it's him. He is cunning. He speaks to us just like the Holy Spirit does inside. It seems like I'm the one thinking. It seems like my thoughts. It seems like my intentions and my plans and my desires, when it's really him back out in the background slipping in and suggesting things to me and to you. That's why it talks about when Jesus said, the Satan have desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And what did Peter say, the dummy? He said, I will die for you, but I'll never deny you. And that's the kind that the devil's looking for. People who do not realize the damage the devil's doing. Don't realize how much influence he has over their lives. That's who he's looking for, because they think it won't happen to me. It isn't the devil controlling me. You see, it's easy for us to look at someone else and see their faults. It's easy for us to realize how the devil is using and working in the lives of somebody else. But when we turn that view inward and look at our own lives, we don't realize how much the devil is influencing and controlling us. He is cunning. He does his best work, and we don't even realize it's him. No wonder he's so successful. Now, somebody may say here, I'll tell you one thing, the devil's not controlling me. Well, that means one of two things. Number one, you are the most spiritual person I know. Or number two, you are deceived. Because if we think the devil's not controlling us, we are either real spiritual, and I doubt that, or we're real deceived. Because the devil does do more than we ever realize. I want to ask you this. If you think the devil's not influencing your life, I want to ask you, are you saved? Are you saved? Have you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior? If you have not, I want to tell you something. The devil has influenced your life. Because you think about it. When a person who is not saved dies, they go to hell and stay there forever and burn forever and never get out ever. Now you tell me what in this world is worth going to hell for and staying forever? And every one of us will say nothing is worth going to hell for. And yet still people remain lost because they listen to the devil and they don't even realize it's him. I say to us who are saved, if we think the devil's not influencing us and controlling us, how spiritual are we? How close are we to the Lord? How much do you pray? How much do you read the Bible? How much do you hate sin? How much does church mean to you? How much do you love the Christians? I'll tell you what, the devil is influencing us a whole lot more than we realize, and it's time to catch that scoundrel and turn some things around. And in Luke 8:12, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He takes the word of God right out of the ears and the heart of someone who's thinking about doing business with God. I do know this. This Bible talks about for the Christian there's joy and power and victory. And I don't know many of us that are experiencing that. That tells me there's a problem somewhere. And I believe one of the problems is the devil's influencing us more than we realize. It's time to catch him. Number one, he is cunning. Number two, he is calculating. Look and see what it says. Verse 1, and he was afterward unhungered. The devil came to Jesus, and I believe he tempted him somewhat during the whole 40 days of fasting. But we're not told that. But we are told this. At the end of the 40 days, the devil came when Jesus was at his weakest point, humanly speaking. He is calculating. He knows how to do his job, and he knows how to do it well. He doesn't just come flippantly. He doesn't come ramrod. He comes calculatingly. He comes with an interest and with a plan in mind. He's like that lion that looks across the sheepfold and finds the weakest sheep to attack, or the weakest of the prey out in the jungle. That lion's looking for the weakest of the prey. And that's how the lion of the devil does. He's looking for our weakest point. He's looking for the place that will be the most likely for him to win. I don't blame him. If I have an enemy, I'm not going to attack his strongest point. I'm going to try and find out somewhere where he's the weakest and attack him there and hopefully defeat him in the process. And the devil's just like that. He's calculating. The Bible says he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking, trying to find that weakness, that open spot in our armor, because he's calculating. He knows what he's doing, and he attacks our weakness. It may be in your life he compliments you. You know, the devil can make you think you're a pretty good person if you listen to him. He'll compliment you. He'll talk about how smart you are and how you can do so many things well. And how you're better than the average, and how you don't do this or you don't do that, even though others do. If we aren't careful, the devil will attack us, and he will compliment us to try to build us up our pride to where we trust ourselves and don't realize how much we need God. You see, he's calculating. He doesn't always break us up or break us down. He can be complimentary. He can compliment us, but he also can condemn us. He can tell you how dumb you are and how worthless you are and how there's no need to try because you know you can't do it and how you're worse than anybody else and you feel so unworthy. And even though we are unworthy, the devil can make us feel worse than we ought to feel. That's his calculating attack. He's calculating. It may be people that he uses in your life. and there's some friction between you and somebody else, and the devil will highlight that. Keep reminding you. It may be people. They may just drive you buggy, and it seems like they're always the ones that you run into when you're at Walmart. It may be people. It may be patience that's your problem. And he'll do his best when you're in the food line checkout to make sure you're in the wrong line. I believe he does that well with me. And he'll remind you about how long the line is and how busy you are and how you need to do this. And you know, whatever our weakness is, that's where he attacks. It may be he attacks you with purity. That desire, that flesh, that hunger, that sin that just cannot seemingly get control of it. That's what the devil will attack you with. It may be prosperity. You may want to have a promotion at work, which is not bad in itself, except if you just want to get rich and you got to have things, you got to have more, you got to have the best. I tell you, the devil knows what he's doing. He knows how to attack. He's calculating. And it's time for us to realize, hey, that's the devil. And if it's the devil, I don't need to listen to him. He is cunning. He is calculating. I see in these verses, he is coming. He comes after Jesus. Jesus didn't go hunting for him, which he could have and whooped him if he had. But the devil came. Notice verse 3. The tempter came to him. We do not have to initiate the fight. The devil's going to do it. He comes to us. When God asked the devil, what you been doing? Here's what he said. From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. He's been walking through the world trying to find somebody to defeat, somebody to break down. And I want to tell you something. I'll say it again. He does not wait for us to make the first move. You know what? I came this morning early like always, and I looked at my notes and got sort of settled on what I was going to preach, and I got on my knees in there at that love seat, and I'm trying to do something right. I'm trying to get ready to preach. I'm praying for the service. I'm praying for the God's work, and I'm telling you, my mind kept drifting off and all kinds of stuff, and I'd come to myself and think, where in the world did that thought even come from? And I thought, what you preaching on, dummy? That's the devil. I'm telling you, right in the middle of you trying to do something right, the devil will come in. He is coming. By the way, if you have a victory, I don't want to spoil your victory, but be ready for an attack if you have a victory, because the devil don't like us having victories. He is coming. When you're praying, when you're studying, when you're trying to do right, when you're trying to witness, when you're in church, when you're trying to help somebody, and it even backfires on you. I'm telling you, the devil is coming. He's cunning, he's calculating, he's coming, and he's committed. Verse 3, the tempter came to him. Jesus resisted. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him, and Jesus resisted. And then in verse 8, again the devil taketh him, and Jesus resisted. When the devil was defeated the first time, he didn't give up. And when the devil was defeated the second time, he didn't give up. And when the devil was defeated the third time, he didn't give up. Even though he left, you better believe he came back again later. I'm telling you one thing, he is one committed person, one committed being. He ain't going to give up. That's not very encouraging, to tell you the truth. But it's a fact. If he fails one way in your life and mine, he will not give up. He'll come back some way, sometime, somehow. So I'll say this. How in the world do we catch this rascal? If he controls us and we don't even realize it, if he's influencing our thoughts and our actions and our reactions, and we don't even know it's him, how in the world do we catch him? Number one, if we're going to catch him, we need to be aware. I said it already. Jesus knew what was happening. America was fooled for 25 years by a spy. And there was damage, astronomical damage being done the entire time. And they didn't even realize what was happening or who was doing it. And that's exactly what can happen to us if we are not aware of our enemy. He is a powerful enemy. to be victorious over an enemy, you first have to know your enemy. If you don't know, I tell you what, you watch games. I'm thinking about football. They sit down and they watch those recordings of the team that they're about to face, of what the plays they use and how they run the plays and how they do their offense and their defense, and they're studying the enemy to where when they face the enemy, they'll know how to deal with the enemy. And we need to be aware of our enemy. We need to know him and how powerful he is and how cunning he is, and what I've been saying this morning, how conniving he is. But we also need to know he's defeated. He's defeated. To be a winner, you first need to be aware of the enemy and aware of your power. Now, my power is nothing, but my God's power is everything. I am on the winning side. There is victory in Jesus, Brother Albert. There is help to be had. We need to be aware. We do not have to lose. We don't have to roll over and play dead. We do not have to live a life of defeat. We can live a life of victory. We need to be aware of him. That's why the Bible says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's why the Bible says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's also why Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I'm telling you, we need to be aware of our enemy, but we need to be aware of our God. How do we catch the devil? We need to be aware. We need to be alert. Being aware there's an enemy somewhere, that's a good thing. Important thing. But if I'm not alert, it ain't going to help me to be aware. I can know he's out there. I can know he's powerful. I know he can whip me. But if I'm not alert to see when he's attacking me, he'll attack me and I'll lose. We need to be alert. Jesus wasn't surprised when the devil came. He didn't catch Jesus off guard, and he shouldn't be able to catch us off guard. That's why Jesus warned us, watch and pray. Watch, be alert, be aware. Don't be caught off guard. Don't let the devil defeat you, control you, influence you, get you down, and you not even realize it's him. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. One thing for sure, a soldier who wants to stay alive won't doze off when the enemy's attacking. And we better stay alert if our enemy's attacking us, and he is all the way. We need to see how he's working on me. Realize, be alert to the fact that if I give in to the devil, it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me too much. It's going to cost me my joy. It's going to cost me peace. It's going to cost me power with the Lord. It's going to cost me of my influence among people. It's going to cost my testimony. But more important than anything else, it's going to cost me from pleasing God. It'll hurt him if I let the devil control me. So we need to be aware, and we need to be alert. And then number three, we need to be aggressive. And I'm not saying I am going to get you. Boy, I've got a left punch, I'm telling you. You try it, devil, I'll show you who's boss. Yeah, you'll be running away like a whipped puppy too. Aggressive means to, number one, be aggressive as far as our walk with God. I've said it so often. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. He will flee from thee. He will flee from thee. What a blessing that is. But that's not just some verse that God put in to make us feel a little bit better. That's the truth. Amen. And what did he say we have to do for the devil to run like he did with Jesus? Number one, not resist the devil. Number one, submit ourselves to God. Aggressively, aggressively pursue God. Go after God. Hunger after God. Get in this book. Get this book in you. Stay on your knees. Get in church and stay in church. Put your focus on godly things and spiritual things and get away from the worldly things. we need to be aggressive. I'm telling you, we better catch the devil. He is having more influence on us than we realize. And it's costing us more than we realize. We need to be aggressive. Submit yourself to God. Get close to Him. But then aggressively resist the devil. 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist means to stand against. I'm telling you, we roll over and play dead. We don't even put forth an effort. No wonder he whoops up on us. We're beat around like, I don't know, rag dolls because we don't realize, I don't have to give in to this. I don't have to lose. I don't have to be a pawn in the chess game of life to the devil. I can be a winner. I am a winner. Not only submit to God, but resist the devil, stand against him. Here's what Paul said, Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. That means don't even give him a little opening. Don't give him one little opening. I tell you what, that's what the devil does. He finds that weak area and works himself in. We don't need to give the devil one opportunity, not even one opening. And then lastly, how do we catch the devil? We need to be aware. We need to be alert. We need to be aggressive. We need to be armed. Jesus, on all three occasions, said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Did he do that just because he didn't know what else to do? I mean, listen, God the Son use God's word that we have right in our lap this morning to defeat the devil. And the devil ran away, whooped. And that's our armor. That's our weapons. That's our ammunition. We need to be armed. Get this book in you. Find you some verses that deal with your weakness. Learn to quote those verses. Have them in your heart. To where when the devil comes, you can quote back to him what the Word of God says. Does that mean he's going to run away quickly? Maybe not. Maybe not, probably not. But I do know this, he won't be as likely to whip us. It is our armor, it is our weapon, it is our ammunition. And then the armor of the Spirit. I don't have time to deal with that. Look in the Bible. Find all that the Lord says, I give you something to where you don't have to lose. I have armed you. I have equipped you. What is the devil robbing you of? For some, I have very little doubt. The devil's trying to rob you, number one, of a life of peace. But number two, a life in heaven. He's kind of trying to keep you lost. Which means you're not going to have peace in this world. I don't care what you say. You haven't got a life of peace because you don't even know what peace is. Nobody does until they get saved. And the devil tries to rob a person from having peace in this world, and then they go to hell. And the devil's trying to take that from you when you don't have to go to hell and you don't have to live in turmoil now. I say this morning, don't let the devil defeat you. Catch the devil this morning. Realize it's him. What's the devil robbing from you? For saved people, the list is too long to even suggest. I don't know what he's robbing from you. I don't know what it's costing you. Don't know what all it's costing me. But I know this, it's too expensive. It costs too much. You ever bought something and you thought, why in the world did I pay that much? Boy, I'm telling you, that whatever I bought, I may like it, but it ain't worth it. Now, I want to tell you one thing. The devil, when he robs something from us, we ain't getting a good deal. Be armed. How much influence does the devil have in your life? It's like that spy. Until we realize it, he can keep doing damage. By the way, that spy, he didn't just sell documents and secrets. He told Russia, some of their agents that were spies for us, and those men that were spying for us, trying to help us, were executed. I'm telling you, a spy does damage. An undercover agent does damage. And the devil does more damage than we'll ever realize. And I'm tired of it. Aren't you? Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed.